Greetings, everyone. I'm J.L. Bryce, and this is the first of four short episodes about a true story called The Christmas Reengagement. One more thing before we get started. This is my first shot at making an audible reading, and believe me, it has not been easy. At least you know this is not AI reading some improbable, made-up fantasy. Having said that, on to the story. Episode 1, The Proposal. It's another game night Saturday. I just got off work and started my hour-long drive up to Eileen's house. December is half over, and it's already dusk at 4 p.m. As I turned onto the highway, I started thinking about how wonderful my relationship is with Eileen and how I want to spend the rest of my life with her. I thought about how her half-joking, marry me proposals have recently turned into somewhat more serious statements of life is so short and we really should get married, but still not meaning now. I started thinking that this change in Eileen might mean she is warming up to the idea of a committed relationship with me. Then it hit me. I'm going to propose to Eileen tonight. I thought about it more, and the decision felt good, and the timing's right. I'm proposing tonight. I knew there was a chance Eileen would not be ready for this, as her initial answer to most things is, no, and she was still getting over her passing of her cat Simon. So I thought if I proposed to her in front of her best friends at game night, their witness would make it hard for her to back out and deny it ever happened. Little did I know. This decision to propose continues to feel good, but to really show I'm serious, I decided I had better get a ring. Work was giving me a Christmas bonus this coming Monday, so I had some extra funds to put toward the ring. I had just passed the turnoff to the Meriden Mall and started thinking where the next Macy's was. West Farms? No. Manchester. Right. Manchester has a Macy's in their mall, and going there has me miss Hartford traffic. Bonus. I pull into the Macy's parking lot and begin searching on my phone for a ring on their website. I'm uncertain what style to choose, but I end up seeing a 3-stone diamond ring on sale that I like. I take a screenshot and go into the store to the fine jewelry department. I'm greeted at the counter by the store clerk and show him the picture of the ring. He looks on the counter and in his computer, but says the ring is out of stock. I ask what else he might have, but the pickings are slim, and all his rings are size 7, way too big for Eileen, who is slightly less than a size 5. Somewhat dejected, I leave Macy's and start walking the mall. As I contemplate going into a jewelry store, I pass JCPenney's. I have bought fashion jewelry at Penney's before, so I thought they would have comparable sales to Macy's. I walk up to the fine jewelry counter, and I'm a little perturbed, as I'm ignored by all the clerks. After a few minutes, I see a manager send a clerk over to help me. I'm standing in front of a few diamond engagement rings that look like good choices. After the clerk takes out a few rings for me, I finally decide on one, and the clerk confirms she likes that one best too. The clerk suggests I sign up for JCPenney's charge card, as it will give me another 30% discount. I do so, add ring insurance, pay for the ring, and am out the door. It's now 6 o'clock and I'm already late for game night. I grab my phone to text Eileen. I see Eileen has already texted me, saying she is leaving to get Jan and will meet me at Connie's. I text Eileen back saying I'm running late and will be there by 6:30-ish. On the way to Connie's house, I start thinking about what I will say in my proposal to Eileen. After a few attempts, I come up with my proposal lines. As far as the timing of what to propose, I haven't figured that out yet. I arrive at Connie's house and start thinking there would be no easy way to get to the ring box for my proposal to Eileen. I decide to take the ring out of the box and put the ring in my pants pocket. Upon entering Connie's house, everyone is already there. Eileen, Connie, Jan, Donnie, Charlene, and Kim. I get the usual greetings but tell them I still have a cold, so no kissing, which Connie usually does right on my lips. I see poker was the game of choice and a seat has been reserved for me at the end of the table to the right of Eileen. I get a beer and sit down to join the game. As usual, there's a lot of chatting going on, and this time it was Kim who was going on and on. I start thinking, how am I ever going to get my proposal out amongst all this chatter? Eileen asks me why I'm late, and I tell her I was shopping. I could feel this is not an acceptable answer, so I added that they had a one-night-only sale. A weak answer, but it's all I could think of. I continued to think about when to pop the question. I knew I was going to get down on one knee, but when? As the deal moves around the table to me, I start to formulate my plan. Being the dealer, everyone has to be quiet and listen to what game you are selecting and what the rules are. I decide when the deal gets to me, it will be the perfect time to pop the question, as everyone will be waiting for me to speak. Perfect. As the deal nears me, I'm trying to remember the proposal lines I came up with in the car. I tell everyone that poker tonight doesn't seem that exciting, which it wasn't. It's now my turn to deal, and the chatter quiets down. I turn to Eileen and open up with, "The shopping I did tonight was for you," and proceed to get down on one knee. I see Charlene gasp and tell Donnie to get out his camera. I continue with my proposal to Eileen. "Over the last 3.5 years, you have been everything to me. I can't imagine my life without you, and I want to spend the rest of my life with you. I love you so much." Then I dig into my pocket, pull out the ring, and show it to Eileen. "Will you marry me?" The room was silent. Not a sound was heard. Then came the pause. It seemed like an eternity was passing before any sound was heard. You know, like being in an earthquake where everything is in slow motion and seconds seems like hours. Kim is thinking, "Oh no, this is going to be bad." Finally, a sound is heard, and it's from Eileen. "Absolutely." We hug and kiss, everyone claps and cheers, and comes over to congratulate us. Charlene exclaims she has never witnessed a marriage proposal. Kim says to me, "So this is your way to make it more exciting tonight?" and laughs. Everyone is thrilled, and pictures are taken to commemorate the big event. We get home to Eileen's house, and Eileen says she is afraid of wearing the ring, as it was a way too big size 7. So I go downstairs and wrap a bandage around the ring to make it smaller. I bring it up to Eileen to try it on, and she does. But she says she doesn't feel comfortable wearing it to bed and puts it back in the box. Needless to say, I was a little disappointed. It's Sunday morning, and we're both up. Eileen is a little somber and is not wearing the ring. I knew something was up, but I decided to leave her alone in the kitchen to work it out on her own. There is rain in the forecast, so I go outside to rake up the leaves in front of the fence before the rain is forecasted to start at 8 a.m. When I come back in, Eileen springs on me that she isn't ready to be engaged. She says I caught her off guard and is just not ready to be engaged. Somehow, this didn't surprise me, as Eileen's initial reaction to most everything is no. She asks me to take back the ring. I tell her I'll hang on to the ring in case she changes her mind, but Eileen insists I return the ring to the store. She goes on to reassure me her decision has not changed our relationship. Me, I'm not so sure. The a cappella singing group Nova Cantori is performing at the church today at 1 p.m. Eileen had invited Marcy over to join her in going to see them, as I previously told Eileen that I wasn't interested in going and would stay home. I bought a pre-lit Christmas tree on sale at Home Depot after last Christmas. It is a nice 7.5-foot tree with color-changing lights. Each bulb changes from color to white with the press of a button. Eileen loves the tree, but doesn't believe the purple lights go with her idea of Christmas. I don't dislike them as much, but tend to agree. After I brought home the tree, we contacted the tree manufacturer asking for spare light bulbs. To our surprise, they sent a whole string of lights. While Eileen was at church, I figured I would use this time to switch out the purple lights on the tree. Marcy arrives and is her usual chatty self. Eileen had told me she wasn't going to tell Marcy about my proposal last night and her rejection this morning. I suggest that was not a good idea, as Marcy is a close friend, but Eileen was firm. I start to get busy bringing up the Christmas tree from the basement. It was an easy chore, as it comes in 3 parts. Shortly after arriving, Eileen and Marcy leave for church. I was able to get most of the purple lights switched out before running out of lights from the spare string that was sent to us from the manufacturer. It was a definite improvement. Eileen arrives home from the church and says goodbye to Marcy while she drives back home. Eileen comes in and is relieved that I'm still home, given that I could be upset from her breaking off our engagement. We sit down on a love seat together, each with a glass of wine. I point to the tree to show my progress in changing the lights, and it is much to Eileen's liking. Eileen then tells me about informing Charlene at church about her decision to reject my proposal of marriage. She tells Charlene she loves me and wants to spend the rest of her life with me, but is just not ready for the commitment of being engaged. Surprisingly, Charlene is not her usual supporting self and doesn't react favorably. Charlene tersely tells Eileen that her wanting to spend the rest of her life with me is commitment. James really put himself out there. Aren't you afraid of losing him? While this is going on, Marcy is behind Eileen, hearing Charlene reprimand Eileen, and asks Eileen, what's going on? Eileen tells Marcy she'll explain later. I laugh at this and tell Eileen I find it funny that Charlene is supporting me over her, and I'm kind of liking it. Eileen goes on to tell me that she tells Marcy about my marriage proposal the night before her decision to end the engagement this morning. Marcy is more understanding than Charlene and says that she knows that Eileen has things to work out. We hang out for a while and start making out. I suggest that we go upstairs, get into bed and cuddle, and we do. It is starting to get dark, and I get antsy to go home as I usually do on a Sunday evening. I leave on good terms with Eileen, but went home wondering about Eileen's rejection of my proposal. Does she have doubts about a lifelong relationship with me? Are the negative things her mother says about me actually sinking in with her? I'm not tormented over this, but I'm conflicted. This feeling continues when I arrive home. I wonder if our relationship has reached its peak, has plateaued, and will go no further. The next day I return the ring to Penny's. End of Episode 1. Listen to my next episode, Take 2, next Tuesday.
Well, it's cold outside and the lights are low. Everything around me is covered in the deep snow. And I'm thinking about you. Well, the gifts are laid beneath that tree. And I'm wondering to myself if you're thinking about me. Are you thinking about me? Cause it's not like I just wanna be the guy that you're waiting to see whenever the festivity is over. I wanna be the 12 days left in one. I wanna be your drummer boy, boom, 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 boom. I wanna be the end of in your room. I wanna be the North Star that you see. I wanna be the portrait. Without me, without me.